I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown, with my second show of the week, and then the flagship edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, September 16th, 2017, you are listening to the PW Torch Pro Wrestling Livecast Saturday, a.k.a. the Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I'm Rich Fan. Welcome all. Welcome all. It is a perfect night here in Pittsburgh, and I'm going to talk to you guys about Pittsburgh wrestling. And in a few minutes, I'm going to bring on my host, Dominic, and we're going to chat with you about the local indies, some memories I had when I was a college student here, some of the fun things I enjoyed when I was in Pittsburgh, and I want to hear about the new stuff going on. And also, we want to hear from you. So make sure if you have called in, you hit one on the touchtone dial to let us know you are available to chat. And if you haven't called in yet, why haven't you? The number's area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. And if you don't feel comfortable talking or you don't have the time, you can always hit us up on the email tip, and that's pwtdive@gmail.com. So before we get to Dominic and we start talking about Pittsburgh indie wrestling, I do want to chat for a minute about a situation that came up over the week, and I don't think people are talking about it as much as I think. And that's the headbutt of Kevin Owens to Vincent Kennedy McMahon. And not necessarily the headbutt itself, because I think everyone's talked about that, what it means for Kevin, what it means for Vince, the dangers of it, the Shibata incident, Hanma in New Japan as well. But I want to think about three people in particular. I want to think about Triple H. I want to think about Daniel Bryan. And I want to think about Titus O'Neil. And the reason I bring those three people up, because one, Triple H from a standpoint of the stockholders, no one knows really what they're going to get Wall Street-wise. So putting the 71-year-old chairman of the board out there to get head rocked, and whether he bladed himself and put new skin on or it was a one-hit, one-kill situation with the headbutt, that's not really for me to kind of decide. But I do want to think of the idea of having your boss, having your father-in-law, that's also your boss, do something like that, and then creatively you having to be the guy who has to share the responsibility for it has to be kind of an icky thing for him right now. And that moves me to my second person, speaking of icky, Daniel Bryan. You have a person who is hell-bent on getting back into wrestling regardless of what may happen to his brain. He's gone to doctors to and fro to prove he is mentally capable of handling the rigors of being a professional wrestler again. And his parent company, WWE, says, no, Daniel, for your health, we can't let you wrestle. And what does he get to see? His 71-year-old boss get a shoot headbutt from one of their best performers in the company. So how's he feeling about this situation? And finally, a person that's near and dear to my heart, if you listen to the East Coast cast of myself and Travis Bryan Travis Bryan and Cameron Hawkins, we talked about at length a few years ago the undue punishment Titus O'Neil suffered for merely grabbing Vince McMahon out in public in an effort to playfully say ladies first and allow Stephanie to go in front of him. He's, you know, if he's watching SmackDown as a Raw talent, looking and seeing that Vince McMahon just took a shoot headbutt on national television, and that's far more damaging than him grabbing the CEO and not, you know, throwing them to the ground or throwing them over the top rope. He just grabbed him. Kevin Owens got to headbutt him, frog splash him and leave him for dead. And he's getting an angle out of it. He's getting actually, you know, moved up the ladder, so to speak. So how does Titus feel about this situation? And obviously we're going to be talking, diving deep into Pittsburgh Indie Wrestling. But if you have any thoughts on what I just laid out, please join in. As always, it's area code 515-605-9345, 515-605-9345. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring on my host. Dominic is a Pro Wrestling Torch contributor, and I'm going to let him introduce himself. So, Dominic, welcome to the Deep Dive.
Rich, hey, man. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. So before we get started with the Pittsburgh NDC, why don't you talk about how you got started with the Torch and what brought you – how we came to kind of get in contact with one another.
Well, sure, yeah. Way back when, I happened to listen to Blog Talk Radio, and I stumbled upon the PW Torch. This was like 2010, I think it was. And started listening in, just did live cast, you know, freeload, as you used to call it. Would be like listening week in, week out, and trying to tune in. Never really call in or maybe I'd send an email, but after a while, finally, around 2012, I became a VIP member and just got more in depth, listened to the audio shows, the Wade Taylor Hotline, the Bruce Mitchell audio show, eventually The Fix with Todd Martin and all the East Coast cast stuff. I love those guys, too. And then, I started getting the itch to write, you know, more. And I sent out, I believe, an email to Wade just saying, like, hey, if you ever need anybody writing for you, just let me know. And I'll be happy to, like, just show, like, oh, no, that's what happened. Was they used to have the send in a letter to the editor segment back a couple years ago. And I would send opinion pieces on there. And then eventually I'd send some of those week in and week out. And he'd publish him on the PDF version of the Torch. And so after that, I ended up falling out of not wrestling so much, but just the continuation of writing, because I relocated and moved to Pittsburgh from Philadelphia, and picked it back up again, sent Wade an email, and I started doing the recaps for 205 Live for just a touch. But then each week in and week out, I would do Rising Star and Fading Star. I did that up until maybe about a couple months ago. The last one I did was before the pay-per-view before SummerSlam, I believe. But I haven't gotten back into it yet, so I got to get back on the horse. And along with, I also do the PW podcast recaps, too, with Andrew. I got to get back on that one, too. I do the Tony Schiavone one, typically. So, I've just been super busy writing. I'm a freelance writer for the Post-Gazette. Do book reviews, and I do my own blog too, called The Keystone Statement, with my brother and a buddy and stuff. So it's like a collaborative effort. It's cool that you called me on here to do Pittsburgh stuff, because my blog's Pittsburgh focused mostly, but we talk about sports. We do talk about a little bit about wrestling. I'm the most anchor with wrestling and stuff, but we cover all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I try to stay busy and keep my fingers typing. You know what I mean? So. But I'm happy to be here, and it's really cool that and I'm flattered that you called me to talk about some Pittsburgh wrestling, because it's kind of a neat landscape right now, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, like I said, we'll get into it a little bit as we go along, but Pittsburgh wrestling, more than anything, I mean, my love of WWE, New Japan, et cetera, et cetera. Pittsburgh wrestling in college was the thing that unified my best friends and I, both from Pitt that I met here, and then my friends mm-hmm. who I grew up with from high school that then would come and visit and go to see these shows. And it was amazing. I mean, you know, I have here listed my list of people. Some of them I know aren't in the scene, and I'll be very interested to see if they still are and ask you some questions about them. But
sure, yeah.
I worked for a woman. Her name was Jackie. Her and her boyfriend, Tom, would bring in ECW guys like Nova, mm-hmm. Elvis Wesley, et cetera, et cetera. And so I got to meet Notorious Norm Connors, Super Hentai, Shirley Doe, Mantis, or the 2K Kid, or whatever he was before he got injured. Big Papa Gator. Sterling James Keenan, before he moved on to bigger and better things. Seeing all these places, going to McKee's Port, going to McKee's Rocks, going to the malls and all the places in between, the Ross Raver Ice Arena, I just went to a pro wrestling, I want to say an IWC, or it might have been pro wrestling, because Pro Wrestling Syndicate's New Jersey. Yeah, there was.
Yeah. IWC? Yeah, I know that one too.
Some of the old guys I knew, the new people, and of course, some of the hottest names in independent wrestling. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to chatting about this stuff today. Before we get started, did you have any thoughts on the Kevin Owens headbutt? Did you have any thoughts on?
Yeah, you know what? I just watched it too, just to kind of re-familiate myself with it, and it was intense, you know. And that, I didn't think about the perspective you put on with, you know, Daniel Bryan, that situation, and Titus O'Neil even, you know, like, yeah, Vince McMahon's 71, and sure, he wants to prove his worth and prove that he's able to do this kind of stuff still, and I think that's kind of part of it, like, just a little ego, well, you know, if we need a ready buzz, well, hell, I'll just go and get a headbutt going, and so he comes on there, and, you know, and despite, you know, how great and smart of a wrestler Kevin Owens is, that's still, like, a risky move to do,
right.
Let alone to a 71-year-old, you know, and if that's hard way, which it very much looked like it was, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's Pennywise, it's foolish to just do straight up, you know, but yeah, coming from those perspectives where, like, you know, their television contract's running out, and, you know, you got Daniel Bryan itching to make a comeback, and hey, what the hell, here comes Vince, like, taking a headbutt, legit headbutt from Kevin Owens, and then Titus O'Neil, yeah, all those floating up in the air, it raises a lot of questions. I think it also reinforces, too, how erratic McMahon is with a lot of his decision making and how things go, like, week in and week out, you know, or they don't go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's just a big reflection on the product itself overall.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that this isn't something kind of like when Vince dropped the F-bomb, and I want to say that was here in Pittsburgh as well,
I think,
or maybe,
right,
it was Philadelphia. It was either Philadelphia or Pittsburgh. I can't remember which
Philly
one, but it was. Yeah, but I remember when that happened. And actually, you know what, it was in Pittsburgh, because I was here and I was on the floor listening. It was insane that he said that, and, you know, you have kids there, and you're claiming you're selling this to families, and, you know, Vince is the exception for every rule. So
right.
Completely understand, you know, he's going to fine himself for bleeding instead of the $100,000 he charged Batista. You know, he'll get himself an extra rare steak as punishment. It's like, now you eat this whole thing, pal. Never do it again. You know, learn your lesson.
For shame.
But yeah, it's really crazy to me. And that was the first thing I thought of. You know, like I've said from the start, when Wade tasked me with doing this show, I overthink about stuff. And the first thing I thought of as soon as I saw Vince, one, I was very happy for Kevin, because that meant to me seeing him.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like whooping up on Vince, like Wade mentioned on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast on Podcast One, that is going to be a seminal moment in his career. And that's great.
Oh, absolutely.
But on the other hand, I'm looking at Titus O'Neil, and then he's like, hey, what the heck, man? I just grabbed you, and I got suspended, and I lost WrestleMania money. This guy could darn near kill you. And I don't say that without – I'm not saying that with hyperbole. Katsuyori Shibata headbutted Okada, and he was the headbutter and nearly died against
a
28-year-old man. For a 30-plus-year-old man to shoot headbutt a 71, 72-year-old, the risk is on both ends there. And so I
absolutely.
It was
reminds
scary.
Me, too, there was a baseball player by the name of Brian Roberts. He played, like, early 2000s or something, and he was a shortstop for the Orioles. One of my second baseman, I think, anyway. But I remember he struck out or something like that happened to the plate. As he was walking away, all he did was take the baseball bat and tap his helmet with it, like, while it was still on his head, like, just out of frustration. And he was never the same again. Like, something minor like that even just, like, can thwart it. So, yeah, somebody over 300-pound man headbutting you when you're 71, that might do something. And you can't assess a risk like that, you know? It's
just,
you're throwing it up in the ether. You know, God decide on that one, you know?
Yeah, so. And I'm not a big fan of it. Now, I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to take you guys' calls. I see we got the phone lines jammed, so please stick with us. And when we come back, we're going to start taking your calls, talking Pittsburgh indie wrestling, talking a little bit of that headbutt. It's kind of like the slap if you saw the NBC short TV series. And we're going to have some fun with you guys here on the PW Torch Livecast.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it, too, every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at pwtorch.com.
All right, we're back on the Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I'm Rich Fan, and I'm here with Dominic D'Angelo, one of the Torch contributors, handling PW Podcast as well as Rising Star, Fading Star. Dominic, what do you think about the current scene? What should people, because I told a lot of the listeners for this week, instead of having a challenge of looking into it, we were going to discuss some things and give them suggestions about maybe organizations or matches they should see that best exemplify Pittsburgh wrestling.
Do you mean considering as far as like what organizations are here, what they should go to check out, or
yeah, absolutely. Like let's say for the sake of argument, like I try to treat this type of show as like if this was New Japan, I would say if you were in Osaka Joe during one of the New Japan shows, here's why you should go. So if you're in town, like let's say you watch Pitt get curb stomped Seth Rollins style by Oklahoma State. And you wanted to find something better to do, and you saw a marquee that said wrestling, and then insert company here. What companies would you want to go see, and what local wrestlers would you want to see if you were here and they were available to watch?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's funny you brought up the IWC, the Wrestling Cartel. They were the first show that I ever went to when I was like 13 years old. They had it was in Dubois, Pennsylvania, and the main event was Stevie Richards versus the Dragon Julio De Niro. And the Bushwhackers were there, and one of the Doinks were there, one of the many Doinks. They were all there. And it was a fun starter off as an event. So, and they're still around, so they definitely have some cachet in the area. But the organization that I attend almost faithfully, like once a month, is KSWA Wrestling, and it's Keystone State Wrestling Alliance Wrestling. And it takes place in Lawrenceville. Most of it takes place. So their home is the Spirit Hall in the Lawrenceville neighborhood of Pittsburgh, and which is like a 2-4 bar. And upstairs is a pretty spacious area. Kind of a really neat atmosphere. Almost feels like a VFW in a way. But and it's a mixture of families and hipsters, like straight up. So you got like a whole bunch of people in flannel drinking. And then you got a whole bunch of families and kids and, you know, all that stuff. So it's a very applicable environment for a lot of different folks to kind of go in and entertain them. And what they do is very basic, like very simple. You have your heels, you have your bad guys, you know, and you have the characters that you follow week in, or month in and month out. But they do have shows, and it's kind of funny that you were asking what was going on, too, because even tonight they have a show. It started at 6 p.m., right, when the podcast started. It was at Sand Club. It was at the Millville Day Celebration, 2017 Millville Day Celebration. So they're doing that tonight. And I think there's 2 days of that they were taking place in. So, and then next week, I think September 30th, I believe, is at Sam's Club Terranium Children's Miracle Network fundraising at 6 p.m. in New Kensington, Pennsylvania. So they stay busy, but I get to see them usually typically once a month. That's the big one I usually go to is the KSW Wrestling, and that's like their main show, if you want to call it that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the big two that I know. How about you, Rich? Is there any other couple ones that you are familiar with?
Well, for me, I usually knew IWC and PWX. Those were the two I would go to. And I'm looking right now at the KSWA roster, and I would be remiss if I don't talk about KSWA Megastar. And one of my favorites growing up, my friends who are listening to this episode whenever they get a chance, Bubba the Bulldog.
Oh, he was there last month. Yeah.
Does Bubba still come out to Hate Me Now by Nas?
No, I don't think he did. He came out in a tag team with Dennis Gregory last night. Or
okay.
Not, I'm sorry, last week. Last week he came out with a tag team. And they shot a big angle, actually. They're like the new hot heel tag team, and they did something that really got them over. Actually, my favorite wrestler there is T-Ranchula. And he's like an older dude that is like has a biker gimmick. But he wrestled Mick Foley in the Pittsburgh area. I think they both trained under DiNucci.
Gotcha.
But he wrestled. But he was one of the guys, and he has a spot throughout the crowd. It's him and Jester of the tag team. The Jester, who's like a bigger wrestler that is his tag team partner. That's just wild and crazy and all that stuff. But he has a spot where he takes nachos, and people start chanting Nacho City throughout the whole KSWA arena, Spirit Hall. And he smacks somebody with nachos. And so that gets over every single time. It doesn't matter. Well, right when he was ready to do it to this other heel tag team, Dennis Gregory and Bubba the Bulldog came running out, attacked Jester, beat the crap out of him, then went for tea and gave him Nacho City. And the crowd went nuts. They just went ballistic. both families and hipsters just like were up in arms about it. And he was there last week, and it was actually my first time seeing him because I guess this is his return or something like that, because I've been seeing KSWA for about almost like a year and a half now. So, and this is like his first appearance at Spirit Hall. So yeah, he just came back. So that's kind of funny.
Yeah, I enjoyed the heck out of him because I remember distinctly to this day, my friends and I will talk about the fact that he was in the middle of a match and he screamed out to the crowd, "Who wants to see my finisher?" And I about died. I mean, we have some good examples. Like we went to I want to say it was a PWX show, and it was Big Papa Gator, and he did the gimmick where he would challenge people in the crowd, and he's like, "Who wants some? Anybody want to get in the ring with Papa Gator?" And one of my good friends, one of my best friends, Justin, decided he was going to take on Papa Gator, and so he calmly walks down to the ring, and me and my friend Chris are looking at each other because we're like, well, this isn't in the script and no one's stopping him. And
right, what's going on?
What's
going
to happen? Yeah. So like, do we have to jump down there and get the crap kicked out of us by a bunch of indie wrestlers because Justin's feeling froggy? And Papa Gator kind of went up to him and was like, "Do you want to do this?" He's like, "No, sir, I do not." He's like, "Just go back to your seat then." And that to me, that's why I love Pittsburgh indie wrestling. It's crazy. It is insane. Like, you have excellent wrestlers on the come, like a Sterling James Keenan, for those of you now, Corey Graves. You have The Drifter, was a recent alum from Pittsburgh Indie Scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Britt Baker, who I adore. I think she's just – I watched that match with her, and then it was a woman from Philadelphia. I can't remember her name. She was a blonde. But I really enjoyed their match, and She has charisma. She goes to Penn State Dental School. I won't hold that against her, even though it's a satellite campus located here in Pittsburgh. I don't know how the city, I don't know what Mayor Peduto was doing when he allowed Penn State to have a branch campus in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's a little suspect right there, if you ask me.
Absolutely. I mean, how would you have – we don't have a University of Pittsburgh Happy Valley campus, you know, just like
right. No, that's unthinkable, unimaginable,
inconceivable. You know, so that's one of those weird things that, and that's why I implore people: if you get a chance, definitely take Dominic's suggestion. Check out KSWA, check out IWC, check out PWX. And if you look online, there are going to be a couple of the matches because, like Dominic said, you have a number of guys who have been trained by old school folks like Dom DiNucci. You have some people who have been trained and they came here and they set up roots. And so a lot of newer or more name brand, quote unquote, wrestlers will come through and do favors for some friends who helped them on the way up. So it's a nice mix.
And what's cool too is it's a good place. And I think this says something for the city of Pittsburgh in general. Like, it's a good place to cut your teeth on, like a good city to cut your teeth starting off somewhere, because it's a growing city and, you know, there's a lot of different things happening. And that's not just speaking from wrestling too, that's just speaking all around. And I think it kind of reflects this in the Pittsburgh indie scene too, because you do have younger guys come in there and they're they either cut their teeth here, or like what you just said, they come in for like a one spot and like to do somebody a favor or anything like that. And it's kind of neat to see a good mix of characters come in. It's very territorial in a way, which is kind of neat. You know, I like that. I appreciate that. As, you know, somebody that likes the old school of wrestling a little bit better than what WWE is currently churning out, you know, but it's, yeah, it certainly reflects that, I think, too, Rich.
Yeah. And now with the wrestlers in the area, like I said, I went to the IWC show. I saw Wardlow. I think that was his name. I had written it down to make sure I knew. I thought he basically screams like WWE type character, super muscled up guy, was just a total jerk. I think he has an undefeated streak, so it was something that was just pretty neat to see him kind of play off of that. LaFisto's their women's champion. I thought she was pretty good. I already mentioned Britt Baker. I'm trying to find the name of the one gentleman I wrote down that was – I really enjoyed his work because he was – DJ Zemaion. I mean, him coming back from that horrible situation where he was injured and didn't know and had to get surgery and, like, almost died. I mean – His Daft Punk inspired gear is a joy to watch live. As far as the light up, if you like Chris Jericho's light up jacket, DJ Zemaion's outfit now is just his helmet, body armor, amazing thing, and you have to see it. You have to see it live. If you watch Ring of Honor,
look at it.
what is it? Seek and Destroy.
Is that the name?
I think it was Search and Destroy.
Yeah,
but I know Jonathan Gresham is a guy from this area that wrestles often, and I got a kick out of him seeing him live. And then I'm trying to find the last person that I saw that was pretty good. I think, and see if this name rings a bell. Where did he go? Big League John McChesney.
No, it doesn't really call me.
He looks like a combination of The Miz and 90s Shawn Michaels.
Oh, that's a good combo there.
Yeah, and he wrestled Adam Cole, and he was just such a jerk. He was just so – you could tell. I mean, obviously Adam Cole's already going to get the notoriety, the Bay, et cetera. Same thing with Chris Caruso. I mean, these guys are going to come in and they know the outside guy is going to get the love because it's like, oh my God, I saw him on TV. But they sell it in a way where you're just like, okay, it isn't just I'm going to play bad guy. No, you're going to be a real jerk about it, and I really appreciated that. But yeah, now I've blathered on, and we have some calls, so I'm going to
take one more break.
All right, we're going to take one more quick break just to make sure I don't get behind. And when we come back, we're going to run through the calls. We're going to have some fun. And we're going to keep talking about Pittsburgh indie wrestling because we like it. We hope you like it. And after we get back, we're going to see how much you love it.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
All right, guys. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I'm Rich Fan. It's September 16, 2017. I'm on with Dominic D'Angelo, also of The Torch, contributing to PW Podcast, and his own keystone statement. The last commercial was for MMA Torch, and it's funny because we're having a UFC fight night, or did we already have it here in Pittsburgh?
I think it's tonight. I'm pretty positive tonight. Yeah.
If I wasn't tired as I'll get out from coaching, because I coach a Whitfield football team. I coach at Elwood City. I'm the offensive coordinator there.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, it was really fun. We beat Beaver Falls last night, a team that was last year's reigning defending state champs. And so we were really excited. I wound up sleeping at my coach's house because it's about 40 minutes away from my house here in the North Hills. So I didn't want to risk going there that late. And so, yeah, I am beat, but I love talking wrestling. So I can kind of get it up for this, and then afterward, I'm kind of like the old school like stories about Kurt Angle or Eddie Guerrero. As soon as this show's over, I'm just gonna collapse on my bed, and my wife's gonna think I'm dead. She's gonna just poke me with a stick.
Yeah, walk into the bed and just like fall apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put some icy hot on, some throat lozenges, cold compress, you know, the whole nine. But anyway, enough of my whining. Let's bring on one of our first callers, 862. This is Mr. Kylan, I'm assuming. Why don't you say your name, where you're calling from? Welcome to the deep dive.
It sure is, Rick. How are you and Dominic doing?
Excellent.
Doing great, Kylan. Good to hear you. This it's an honor to be on with Kylan.
I'm honored that you feel that way, sir.
Well,
so what do you
yeah.
have for us on this fine Saturday? I know usually, just to let you know, Dominic, usually Kylan's one of the first people to ask me what the homework is for the week, so he can research and he can have some really awesome questions. This week, since I said you're coming on, you're going to give us the suggestions. I'm really interested to see where Kylan goes with his questions.
All right.
This was quite the unorthodox challenge for me. So I appreciate this challenge, although I wasn't quite sure where I was going to go with this when I initially received the assignment, since Rich did not give us any specific promotions to view. So one of my questions for this week was going to be, since I know Rich had a level of experience in somewhat of promoting, was going to be, did he work with Corey Graves before he went to WWE? Because one of the matches that I happened to watch for homework this week was Corey as Sterling James Keenan versus, of all people, CM Punk for IWC in December of 2003.
Oh, wow. Well, to answer your question, I didn't get a chance to work with him directly. I worked with IWC, and it was really through Tom and Jackie. So we got to assist with the logistics for the meet and greets, because they would help bring in some of the bigger names. But I didn't get a chance to meet with him personally. I did get to see him wrestle several times.
Oh, wow. The match was good, but it wasn't anything blow away compared to later CM Punk standards, obviously.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
My second question is going to be, are you surprised that fellow Pittsburgh native Shane Douglas keeps trying and hitting the brick walls when it comes to forming or investing in promotions? And why do you believe this continues to happen to him? As I watched several matches from various promotions, such as Extreme Rising and XPW that he has tried to form over the last 17 or 15 years that have failed.
Well, I'm going to hand that one off first to Dominic to see if he has any ideas, and then I'll throw my two cents in.
Yeah, sure. No, that's a great question too. Shane Douglas actually, I like Shane Douglas. I think he was good for what he was in the ECW, and you know, sure he had the good promo skills, but recently, it was funny you mentioned the Extreme Rising because he, when I lived in Philadelphia back in like 2013, he had one of his shows. And it was at the Southampton Armory or something like that. So it was outside of the city. And me and two buddies went. My buddies from Pittsburgh, actually. They came down for the weekend. We were going to go see him. Pretty decent card. Matt Hardy was fighting Sabu. Stevie Richards was in the main event, I believe. The Briscoe brothers fought in a cage match. And all sounds good on surface, too. And like a great card. Raven was going to make an appearance. So he had some people lined up, you know. That was pretty good. You go there, crowd is rowdy, CW to the T, like nuts. You know, what you would think back in the mid-90s kind of time, too. The matches, they did not hold anything back. They went crazy. Like, they fought throughout the crowd. The cage match that they had was extremely brutal and extremely... unput together, like they were literally holding the cage up at some point because it was wobbly. And no joke, after every match, there was a call to the locker room doctor over the intercom, like that somebody needed help. Somebody absolutely broke their leg. The whole event did not end till like 1 a.m. in the morning. But it was. I think that's a big reason why he's not kind of in the ropes of things, is because I think he likes the ECW, that he likes the glory that he had back then, and maybe he doesn't necessarily agree with it, but I tell you what, they were doing unprotected chair shots there too, and I mean, you can't be doing that in this day and age, not whatsoever. And so I think he's probably just kind of blacklisted himself, almost in a Jim Cornette kind of fashion perhaps, and you know what? I don't think that it might be a top priority of his either, because a lot of the times he's gotten a reputation of like backing out or canceling events or them just not coming to fruition at all. So I think that he carries that along with him for a good amount of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I would kind of, I don't want to say ditto to what Dominic's saying, but I definitely want to co-sign all of it, because Shane, and he's very honest about it. I know he's been on Steve Austin's show. He's been on with a couple others talking about kind of his missteps in his career. And I think a lot of it has to do with things like that. And because of that, you can see how Tommy Dreamer has the House of Hardcore and he's kind of going strong with it and then still doing his indie dates, where Shane kind of hasn't been able to do that. And to your point, Kylan, I looked up on YouTube and I'm sharing now with the rest of the live cast audience. There was a wrestler in Pittsburgh, Devil Budokan, who died. And during the era, like that was mid-2000s, where I was watching with my friends, he was in this group with they would feud with Super Hentai, but it was him, Shirley Doe, and Mantis. And this is in the era of pro wrestling where we didn't have as many organized chants. It would kind of just become... created based on the characters you had in the ring. Not that I'm saying they don't do that now, but Super Hentai and all these other guys would fight with him. And when they would do a crazy spot, if it was Shirley Doe in the Hellfire Club of Shirley Doe, Mantis, and Devil Budokan, the fans in the audience would chant 666, 666, which for me was kind of creepy, but that is just indie wrestling. And it was something in that. So when he died, you had all these people that came together and I'm reading these names and like instantly I'm having flashbacks. So I hope anyone who gets a chance, watch this card. It's a 3-hour show to honor him passing. And, you know, you have Sexual Harassment, Eric Ecstasy, Justin Idol, JT Rogers, and Troy Lords. So the group Sexual Harassment, all of these men are like super heavyweights. It's not like a single one of them are in any way the Western European ideal of like a sculpted man. Like, so it was very
Greek
hilarious
God.
To have. Yeah, there were no Greek gods there. You had Mr. Wrestling 3, Steve Corino versus Sterling James Keenan. Shima Zion versus Sharecropper. So that's DJZ. Chris LaRusso with Morgan Rockefeller versus Scotty Gash with Damian Stockholm versus Bobby Shields with Gentleman Joe. I love Pittsburgh Indies because literally everyone has a manager. And sometimes it's a manager,
right,
sometimes
it's
a valet. And it's not even like stables. It's just like, yeah, you could come out with me. It's cool.
Right. You know what? Hey, tag along. You know?
Yeah, it was like, hey, man, it was like you have the plus one at a restaurant. You have a plus one for most indie promotions. But yeah, but did that answer your question, Kylan? And did you have another one for us?
Yes and yes. So my final question for this week's edition of the Deep Dive is, in either of your minds, is there a local Pittsburgh wrestler who you are surprised has never made it to WWE as yet, and do you hope they will be signed? And if you feel that it is too late for this individual person or group of individuals, why do you feel that it might be too late for them to be signed?
Oh, okay. I like that. That's a spicy question. Thank you very much, Kyle, and have a wonderful rest of your weekend. So I'm going to pose the question, since you have seen far more recently than I have, Dominic. Is there anyone you think should be signed that hasn't been signed, or should have been signed and now it's kind of like time's running out for them?
Well, that's pretty good. That is a good question. You know, as I weigh both of them out as far as like a wrestling ability and, you know, as promo ability. And with KSWA, you get a lot of the wrestling stuff shown. And some of it, you don't get a lot of promos. Sometimes you do. You do get personality shown throughout the ring, and that kind of can translate over pretty well. So as far as that, I think somebody that I'm kind of surprised that I didn't see more of him is somebody like Dennis Gregory, the heel tag team partner of Bubba the Bulldog, because he comes out there and he knows how to get the heat, and he knows how – he kind of talks smack, but he shows throughout the whole event, he makes it entertaining and, you know, somebody that you just want to root against. He's got that presence about him in the ring. And I might be a little bit past his time, because from what my buddy was telling me is that he's been around the gig for quite a while, so he might not be seeing any WWE tryouts. But there's a couple of guys that I think could definitely make you know, at least get a tryout with WWE. And there was a younger guy, he just left this area, I almost went to that territory, just left the area by the name of NV Young, and he had that look. He had a great WWE look about him. He was very comparable in the ring, and I think he may be going around to different areas just to cut his teeth a little bit different in some other areas. So a guy named MP Young is somebody I'd pick. And the KSWA champion right now by the name of Mitch Napier, he's very talented as well. So, yeah, those are two I was kind of considering that I wouldn't be surprised to maybe do sometime down the line if they keep at it.
Awesome. And for me, yeah. Especially given my relative nascent knowledge now of the modern Pittsburgh scene, I thought Britt Baker screamed WWF female wrestler, superstar. Not a diva, like superstar. She was athletic. The biggest thing for her is she didn't want to take dates outside of Pittsburgh because she's finishing her dental degree, which, again,
right,
blew my mind, because it's like you're going to school to be a dentist because that's the thing you love, and you have a fallback job that's going to be something that you can actually use and have an operator, you know, have a very viable career and not have to worry about hand to mouth. So I think Britsburg would be a delightful addition to the WWE. And then for someone that kind of you wonder, has the moment passed? Has the time gone by? The only person I can think of is if they used more non-wrestling personalities in the WWE. Because I look at a guy like, what's his name? Let me look it up right here. Well, one, he does write a little bit freelance, Justin Labar.
Okay, yeah.
I believe he also writes freelance for the Post-Gazette for wrestling.
He does the Tribune.
Okay.
He does the Pittsburgh Tribune. Yep, review. Yeah, I've seen some of his stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, he would be a person that does a decent job kind of doing akin to what Larry Dallas does in Evolve, being the journalist that also is a meta journalist in the terms of storyline purposes. In terms of an actual worker, I always had a place in my heart for Papa Gator, and I thought he should have gotten the shot, but I understood he was an older guy, and it wasn't going to be meant to be, but, you know. And then if I could cheat, I would add one more person, Jonathan Gresham. I know he does the stuff right now with Ring of Honor, but he is in that Daniel Bryan style, both body type. Like, he isn't much for going too crazy with the personality. His personality is he's going to stretch in, he's going to throw.
That's all you really need for a wrestler like that, though, you know?
Yes.
That is, you know? That completely can get him across, over, you know? Absolutely. I agree, man. Like, I could see, like, if he was maybe, like, 20 years younger, I could see T. Ranchel and the Disciples of Apocalypse, you know?
Running with those guys
for a little bit or something. Yeah. Somebody like that. And, you know, he has that. You know, he doesn't do too much in the ring, but he doesn't need to, you know, that's just what it is. And so, yeah, no, that's a great question that kind of posed. Good one.
Oh, yeah.
Never would I have dreamed I would have been on the same podcast episode as Kylan. I've been listening to him for years, too.
Yeah, and that's the fun thing. And that's why I really enjoy this show, because my goal is to kind of pay it forward. Like, I was a listener just like everyone else. Travis needed a co-host for the East Coast cast. And that turned into a 2-year proposition, which has been going on still. And then Wade heard us and, you know, brought me in little by little. It's kind of like the same principle I use with football with my kids. The more you can do, the more you can do. And so being able to bring in folks like yourself, in a few weeks, Brian's going to be a co-host for me. Jason in Australia, whenever he's free, I'm bringing in. And then having people like a few weeks ago, I got a chance to talk with Darius Lockhart. I have a couple other special guests down the road for interviews. And so ultimately, that's what I want this deep dive to be. We jump into something, but we're also having fun, because that's what wrestling should be. I mean, we could complain about the state of things, and we will. Trust me, we will at some point if there's righteous anger to be had. But there's also times for us to jump into things that you might not have thought of, because as everyone says, this is the greatest time in history to be a wrestling fan, because if you like something, someone probably has it on demand as a promotion.
Yeah, no, totally. And, you know, the great thing about that, too, is what you said earlier is how it kind of brought your group of friends together, pro wrestling did, like going to the IWC matches and stuff, like from high school and then from college. Yeah. And, like, that very much happened to me, too, and I think that's how I built a lot of my friendships, was through, like, the fandom of professional wrestling, you know? I totally think... You know, there's so much fun to have. Yeah, sure, it can be frustrating. You can scratch your head and complain and, you know, about anything under the sun that WWE does. But what it boils down to is, like, yeah, there's still a love for it, and there's still positivity things, really good things happening with it, you know? It's just a matter of digging through and finding the simple things that you do appreciate, you know?
Absolutely. So now we have an email, and I'm going to see if we have another caller. But before we get to it, I'm going to, as if I can, at some point, Steve Austin's going to find out and sue me for gimmick infringement. Till then, we're going to take a pause for the cause, and you guys are going to hear a little bit about one of our fun partners.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, we're back for the home stretch of the deep dive with Rich Fan. And I am, of course, the eponymous Rich Fan. And I'm here with Dominic D'Angelo. We're going to talk to you guys about Pittsburgh Indie Wrestling, kind of take it home. We have a couple. We have an email from 26-year Pro Wrestling Torch senior VIP subscriber Brian from Phoenix. And it reads, "Hey, Rich and Dominic, responding to your take on Kevin Owens headbutting Vince McMahon. One, the difference between Vince and Owens, Batista and Chris Jericho, is that Batista's was not approved by management. I believe something similar happened between Triple H and Undertaker. Two, similarly with Titus, his actions, while being altruistic, were unplanned. Nevertheless, Titus's suspension was ridiculous. Three, I think while Daniel Bryan could complain about a 72-year-old man taking a headbutt, kick to the gut, super kick, and frog splash, I forgot about the super kick, that's different than being in a full-fledged match where a minor mistake could cause a catastrophic disaster. Speaking of Bryan, where was he during the extended Owens beatdown? Hopefully WWE will say Vince instructed the wrestlers and management to stay in the back and not watch the monitors. Have a good weekend, Brian and Phoenix." So what do you think? Do you think Brian nailed all the points as to why I really shouldn't be as mad for some of those other people as I should be or I claim to be?
I think he definitely makes good counterpoints for it, but I still see the side of the coin that, you know, Titus sees stuff like that happen, and sure, yeah, maybe that was unprovoked, but it just shows, it also shows you how small of a scale something like that should have been, like, put into perspective, in comparison to something that, you know, sure, this was planned, but this was an extremely dangerous spot, no matter how, any way you shake it. It's like, to do something like that to, again, a 71-year-old, you know, it's probably not the smartest business move for a corporation to do like that, you know? And so with Daniel Bryan, I do agree with the point that, yeah, where the hell was he from a storyline perspective there? That doesn't make any sense. And I don't think we'll get a resolution for that or some sort of explanation on that either. So, yeah. How about you, Rich?
I mean, Bryan's got some really good points there, as always. One of the things I thought about, though, was, if I remember correctly, there was a Talk is Jericho they just did with Braun Strowman, and he talks about how Vince, even now, waits until you come out of Gorilla and cross-checks people. And so you got a 72-year-old blindsiding people coming out of Gorilla, and he can't take someone grabbing them by the wrist. It would never – I hate double negatives, but it will forever burn a hole in my craw as far as Titus having to take the fall for – something that Vince does all the time with anyone else.
And all it boils down to is a pride thing. That's all it is. You know,
yeah.
It's not, there's nothing else behind it, or, you know, he just got up, he probably got really heated at that point in time and then just immediately took action with it. And, you know, then, you know, has an axe to grind forever about it too. In classic McMahon fashion.
Yeah, boy. Now, to take us home, we got one last call. So it's all ones, mystery date. 111, why don't you state your name and where you're calling from?
Hey, it's Craig from Toledo.
Hey, Craig.
What's up, Craig?
How's it going? How's it going, guys?
Good, 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 good. How about you, my man? You're bringing us home on this Pittsburgh Indie Wrestling edition of the Deep Dive.
Awesome. I have a indie question for you. Within Pittsburgh, is there a place where they don't... a little promotion, a little one, that doesn't really have many WWE-looking prospects? They just run a really good show. And have you been to that? And do you like that more or less than the ones where they have a lot of, you know, prospects, blue chip kind of guys or girls?
What do you think?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure. I think you pretty much described KSWA to a T. It's very much like that. They very rarely have any independent notable personalities come in, except for their one show every year. They do a KSWA Fan Fest, which is December 2nd, I believe, at Spirit Lounge. In that, they have some bigger name wrestlers coming in. I believe Chito Santana is coming, and then the Rock and Roll Express will be there. So that should be a pretty fun card. Last year I went, and I had a little too much fun. A little bit, had one too many Jello shots, and I swore to myself I wasn't going to get a picture, a $25 picture with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, but after a few Jello shots and like four PBRs, I got my picture with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and then proceeded to lose it in the process. So, so they do not have a lot of big name wrestlers, but the experience of just going to it with a group of friends, with cheap beers, and with a great atmosphere, it all the more makes it a lot more funner, and you have a lot more interaction with these personalities in this crowd. A lot of the time, and definitely you come to it first, but like there was a few weeks ago, and I was considering going, but it was like, I have a lot more fun doing KSWA stuff than anything like that, and tickets are like $10. You go there with a couple buds, you buy $3 beers, and you have a good time. And, I really appreciate that fact. And it just keeps the fact of the simplicity of wrestling. And that is something I absolutely appreciate with KSWA. So, yeah, I think that's the perfect example of it, of what Craig was talking about. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I would say IWC, while it has folks like Britt Baker and Wardlow, for the most part, it is local talent. You might have a Gresham, you might have a DJZ, but for the most part, it's going to be local guys who have been here for years, been kind of like the spine of Pittsburgh wrestling, and they're still going, and it's really cool because I appreciate it from the perspective of this isn't like the wrestler where it's the guy who went all the way up to the top and he's coming back to the indies just to get that last payday. A lot of these folks have been here for almost 20 years, and this is where they topped out. And for some, it's they have another job to support it, or they're okay with where they are, and there is no, like, regrets, because I wouldn't want it to be that. I never wanted it to be a show where you're bringing in all these guys who are kind of like a step away from retirement, and they're just going 10%. Like, one of my worst experiences was we went to a PWX show in Sabu. I mentioned this with Bruce Mitchell a few years ago. Sabu came out. And a guy, speaking of Vince McMahon, hard way and all that stuff, a guy was doing a promo, and he's talking about, he's running down everyone on the roster, typical heel stuff. All of a sudden, they had this elevated platform, and that's how you got into the ring, because it was like a gym, so they had to make it like a little bit special. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, from out of the curtain, a chair comes flying, hits him between the eyes, busts him open, and he's bleeding profusely in his face. And is cursing a blue streak, saying, "You're an effing maniac." And Sabu comes out. And the guy, at this point, you could tell he's like professionally in the fight, but he wants to be anywhere else but there.
Oh, yeah, he's checked out kind of deal.
Yeah, and I get it completely, because you didn't anticipate a chair come flying, hit you between the eyes, and bust you wide open, because it was, I mean, even now thinking about it, I get a little nauseous. There was a lot of blood.
Yeah. And ooh, scary to see.
Yeah, it is. It is. And then I was tasked with, trying to get Sabu to come out of his Winnebago to do the meet and greet. And at this point, I'm like 19 years old. And I'm like, holy crap, it's Sabu from ECW, Arabian Facebuster.
Hooray.
And it's like, yeah, well, you got to go get him from his trailer. And I'm like, oh, this looks scary. I don't want to die. How about anybody else do it? But, being the 19-year-old and dumb enough to just say yes to anything, I kind of just jumped back into the fray and knocked on it gently, and he never came out and never had a meet and greet. So what's my lesson? Don't let Sabu throw chairs at your face. You learn today, don't let Sabu throw chairs at your face. Craig, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. I got to me and my friend are going. Well, I don't know if he's going. I know I am, but it's hard when football season comes around because they have the shows on Sundays. But the Lions don't play until Monday night, so I get to go tomorrow. And it's a PBW. I tweeted at you with one of the women wrestlers, the champion, just said, the name of the promotion in there. And so I was going to that. I'm going to that tomorrow, and I like going to those kind of shows where, you know, it's like 100, you know, maybe even fewer people in the crowd, because it's, you're really involved. And I hate being in a crowd like at a WWE show and doing the crowd participation, like with a chant and stuff. But when there's like 100 people, you can kind of get more involved and like really boo the bad guys and cheer the good guys, even if you don't know who any of them are. And they all meet you in the middle and a little intermission thing, and it all goes up. It's really fun to me.
That's the best part, man.
You guys,
yeah.
Sounds like you
absolutely
got that going on with KSWA.
KSWA, exactly, dude. You just described it too, like intermission. You got like 100 people there, but like once they have their little intermission, some of the wrestlers come out to KSWA Megastars. You can get your picture taken with them. You can BS with them. My buddies are pretty tight with a few of the wrestlers, like Shane Starr and Dusty Devastation and all this stuff. And it's a very, very neat dynamic. That's like, you know, you go with the expectations of like, hey, I'm going to go see some wrestling, but I'm going to, you know, hang out and party with my buddies too. So, it's have a good time this week, man, on Sunday. Those things are always fun, man. It definitely, and it shows you what independent wrestling can still do and be, you know, away from WWE. Because, yeah, you get lost in the crowd when you're at a WWE event. You're just part of it. You're just all in the mass of humanity. So, yeah, this is different.
Yeah, that was awesome. And thank you so much, Craig, for the call. In the Tony Schiavone voice, we're out of time. We got to go. but it's been fun. An hour really flew by talking Pittsburgh Indie Wrestling, talking a little bit about the hashtag headbutt. And I just want to thank you, Dominic, for coming on. Definitely more than welcome to come on again anytime you want. Is there anything you want to plug before we roll out of here?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at Dominic D'Angelo. That's D-E-A-N-G-E-L-O. But visit my website. It's the Keystone Statement. So keystonestatement.com. I have a lot of blog write-ups. I got different personalities writing movie reviews, Pittsburgh-related things, pop culture-related things, sometimes some wrestling stuff there too. And I have a podcast as well called the Keystone Cast. Me, my brother, and a buddy named Zach, we all just talk about the current ongoings of Pittsburgh. We talk about sports. That's a big, heavy focus. And then entertainment, music we're listening to. So check those out. And follow us on Twitter at KeystoneSTMT. But, give us a like and maybe subscribe to us on iTunes if you like what you're hearing. But that's pretty much it, Rich. Thank you so much for having me on here. It's been a huge thing of mine to want to talk wrestling with somebody on the PW Torch. And so this has been a great time. And no better way to start off with Pittsburgh wrestling, so I think.
Oh, no problem, man. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate you. And like I said, you guys are going to hear from Dominic in the future as well. It's really cool that we bring in all these contributors and all these fans. And like just like myself, all these listeners, it's all collective wrestling family, and I think it's fun. Like I say at the end of every show, make sure you dive into something new, challenge yourself, give yourself an opportunity. And Dominic did that. He came on here, and he was awesome. And next week, we're going to have fun, because speaking of Pittsburgh Indies and some of my best friends in the world, my buddy Chris Maitland's going to be back, and 9/23/17. That is the day I sell you on why Power and Glory is the greatest tag team in the universe. Well, not just Power and Glory. We're just going to come up with 5 of our most underrated tag teams and why. And so I challenge you guys to do the same. Email me at pwtdive@gmail.com. Tweet me at rich_fan, F-A-N-N. Tweet at PWTorchLivecast. Whatever you need to do, get the word out to us. List your top 5, because next week when we call in, I want to know who your top 5 underrated tag teams are, why, and a story about why you want to sell us on them. So, as always, guys, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for diving with us, and we'll see you next week.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004 plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s, but you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Killer Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the Ask the Editor format of the Weight Killer Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip. No!